This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am totally delighted to be with you today. I certainly am. How good it is that we are together, sharing these airwaves, sharing the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming His good news, and standing together in this most contentious time through which we are living. You know, I'll tell you, it is the truth. We are facing powers and principalities, the rulers of this present darkness. We use that beautiful passage a lot here on Women of Grace Live, and I'll tell you why, because it is so appropriate for our day and time. But we are not alone. We're never abandoned. Our Lord is with us, and He gives us good guidance. He gives us good guidance in all kinds of ways, certainly through EWTN radio, certainly through EWTN television, certainly through all of the means that we have, through the writings of our holy fathers, through the teaching that is ours by way of the Catholic Church, through sacred scripture. So we ought always to realize that God doesn't abandon us, and He does guide us. And it is that in that guidance, and it is in that light of truth, that we find our way in the midst of what appears to be great darkness, what appears to be great travail. Do want to give you a number whereby you can join us today. It's one of the ways that we edify and build up this body of Christ. It is indeed 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny is our call screener. When you do call him, be sure to greet him and also let him know if you're a first-time caller. If you are a first-time caller, I get to use my ding-dong bell to welcome you. And it sounds like that. And it makes me very, very happy to welcome you if you're a first-time caller. So please let Ryan know. Again, that's 833-288-EWTN. We're also available to you out there in social media land. We are. Jeff Burson, our producer and our social media manager, is getting on out there to grab your questions and your comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement, and to get them up on the board for me so that I can take them and we can have some holy conversation together, even if it's only through your question coming to us through social media and my response via the airwaves. It's always great to be with you. I want to remind you about a lot of things that are happening at Women of Grace right now, and I am very excited to invite you to a beautiful webinar that's going to be taking place September 29th and 30th from 7:30 p.m. till 9 p.m. For those of you that are anxiously looking forward to the debates, I want to let you know that we will be finished with the webinar. Actually, it's an enrichment seminar. We'll be finished with that enrichment seminar in time for you to watch the debate. So that should not deter you from signing up. And I want to tell you, it's very important that you consider signing up for this Benedicta enrichment seminar with our guest presenter, Kathleen Beckman, because she is going to be giving us tremendous insight, into what is very important for us to know as we move through the darkness of this day and time and its contentious nature. She's going to be telling us how we can train up our families for the final battle. Now, you know, we think of our family being, you know, perhaps our spouse and our children, but it extends beyond that. It extends to our extended family. It extends into our church community. It extends into, you know, the environment in which we live and the community of our neighbors and our locale. Our family is the entirety of every person that's been created in the image and likeness of God. So God wants for us to be effective in the milieu in which He's placed us. So this particular enrichment seminar is going to be of a vast importance to you, enlightenment to you. It's going to give you great courage. Train up your family for the final battle. It is a two-part Benedicta enrichment seminar. It is online. Kathleen Beckman is our presenter, and I'll tell you, she knows what she's talking about. You hopefully heard her interview with me yesterday or Friday. We ran it twice. Why? Because it was so important. The information being given even through that broadcast, very important to you. If you didn't hear it, you can go out to EWTN's radio app. Well, it's actually EWTN's app, and you can go to Audio On Demand, and you can look for Women of Grace Live, and it's up there and you can air it, you can play it for yourself and you can hear. But she's going to get into a whole lot more detail than she was able to give us in that hour broadcast. And we're going to hear that over two evenings from 7:30 to 9 p.m., September 29th and 30th. It couldn't be a better day. Feast of the Guardian Angels, right? St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Amen. So we're very much looking forward to that, and we're very much looking forward to having you with us. All of the information is at our website. Just go out to womenofgrace.com. It's number 3 in the slideshow. You can also scroll on down on the left-hand side of our homepage under upcoming events. It is the very first one. Click on that. It takes you to a landing page, and you can register right there. Also in that slideshow, number 1, it tells you about our online fall retreat, October 23rd through the 24th. Open the eyes of your heart, the transformative power of prayer. Open the eyes of your heart, the transformative power of prayer. And what a lineup of speakers we have. Here's who we've got. We've got Father Peter John Cameron. We've got Kathleen Beckman. We've got Thomas K. Sullivan. We have Susan Brinkman. We have Susan Potvin. And we have Susan Tassone. Somebody teased and said it's the Trinity of Susans. And it certainly is that, with a Kathleen thrown in and then a Father Peter John and a Johnette and a Tom. So we are looking forward to being with you for this beautiful, beautiful upcoming online retreat, October 23rd and 24th. You can register for that too. The information is there for you. Number 2 in the slideshow. I really want to invite you to watch this. This is a tremendous program that we did in the Abundant Life all the way back in 2006. It's on renegade judges. Now, in light of what is going on currently, as we look at replacing Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's very, very, very timely. And you're going to enjoy, I think, hearing what you hear, because it's very, very informative, very helpful. And it gives us a sense of where we are and how it is that we should be looking at judiciary. So please get out there and watch that. Remember, it was produced in 2006. My hair is a little different. The set is a little different. Everything is a little different. It was a different time, different place. But what is being spoken there is timeless, at least in terms of this temporal existence in which we are in relation to our Supreme Court. So I want you to watch that. I think that I watched it again, and I was amazed. It always, I really find it fascinating how it is that God is always preparing us years in advance for what's going to come. It's part of his providential guidance for us, his love for us, etc. So it's all there for you. I want to invite you to watch that. I certainly do. Inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can reach us also via social media out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get to you just as soon as we possibly can. Those phone lines are open. Again, it's 833-288-EWTN. Ryan Penny, our call screener, he's ready for you. So am I. If you're a first-time caller, let us know so we can ring our ding-dong bell for you. We're going to be right back, hoping that you will stay with us. Again, that number, 833-288-3986. More to come on the other side of the break right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Also want to remind you that you can text us, text EWTN to 55000. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm thrilled to be with you today. I hope you're thrilled to be with us, too. You can let us know that you are. You can. And the way to do that is to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 866. Ryan Penny's ready for you, and I'm ready for you too. Pick up that phone. Give us a call. If you're a first-time caller, let him know so I can ring my bell to welcome you. Also want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN's Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there to get your question or comment to us, and Jeff Burson, our producer, will get it, and he'll put it up on the board for me. And you can text us. Text EWTN to 55000. That's EWTN to 55000. All kinds of good things coming up. I was telling you about them when we began the program today. Also want to remind you, that our television program has changed its time. It used to be on at 11 a.m. Eastern at the same time that this radio program airs, but it's been changed. It's been changed to 1 p.m. Eastern time, and I certainly do invite you to watch Women of Grace on television. We have a great lineup of guests. We certainly do. I want to make you aware of the fact that Wednesday and Thursday of this week, our guest is going to be Al Cresta. And you know Al Cresta from Cresta in the Afternoons right here on EWTN Radio. We're going to be talking about very important factors as we make our way towards these national elections. And I don't want for you to miss those programs. So please do plan to watch us at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday and Thursday, that's tomorrow and the next day, with our guest Al Cresta. Inspiring words that he gives to us and a lot to think about. Also on Friday, every Friday now, we have a live show. And that beautiful live show is with our guest, Anna Maria Cardinale. And we're going to be talking about the music and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It should be quite interesting. We take your calls in the midst of that program. So we certainly do invite you to join us for that. We're asking you to give us a call here today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. By way of just a little teaser for the programs that we did with Al Cresta, I want to share with you a quotation that I used in those programs. It's a very important one. It's given to us by Pope Benedict XVI, and this he stated to the Pontifical Council of the Laity, May 21st in the year 2010. I want you to hear this because this is really important. I continue to say that I don't think that we have ever faced an election that carries with it the weight and the importance of this upcoming election. We really are at a very critical moment. We're at crossroads here in the United States of America. And the way in which this particular election is decided is going to change the course of the history in the United States of America for generations to come. And it's outrageously important for us to know who we are and who God's calling us to be and what Holy Mother Church tells us about our requirements and duties as citizens, but also about the way in which we exercise that citizenship in union with the will of God given to us through sacred scripture and through the teachings of the church. Our God is not a mystery man. Our God is a God of revelation. Our God wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know how it is that we can enjoy relationship with him. And he wants for us to know how it is that we then can fortify, strengthen, and experience relationship with each other. And in light of that, he does give us guidance. He reveals himself to us. He loves us and gives us guidance through the word that he entrusts to us. And that word comes to us by way of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. It's also very important that in being his children and in being in relationship with him, we act upon his will. And that when we make important decisions, it is his guidance and direction given to us through the church, given to us through sacred scripture, that we make our decisions. And so I really want to encourage you to listen to these words that Pope Benedict XVI spoke on May 21st in the year 2010. He says this: "It is also the duty of the laity to participate actively in political life." And I want to stop there. It is also the duty of the laity to participate actively in political life. What is political life? Is it merely the casting of a vote? I don't think so. I think it goes beyond that. I think it is the casting of our vote, most definitely. But I also think it is allowing ourselves to enter into the discourse of the day regarding the politics as we see them. I think that it is also part of our duty and responsibility that if we are prompted by the Holy Spirit to run for political office, that we do. I think it is also part of our duty and obligation to enter into political life through the various careers that are attached to political life, whether it is through a political strategist position or whether it is through a volunteer position where we go knocking on doors. I don't know. But in whatever way you are prompted and led by the Holy Spirit, it is important for us to hear that calling and to enter into it and to move forward in it. The ultimate result of that, you know, and perhaps the least rung of that, is the casting of the vote. That's a very important part. I'm not in any way denigrating that or saying that's of a lower value. It's of a very high value. But I'm saying that it's one of many ways in which we are called to actively participate in political life. In the next part of this message given to us by Pope Benedict XVI in May of 2010, he tells us how it is that we are to actively participate into political life, to what extent and in what manner. And he says that we are to participate actively in political life in a manner coherent with the teaching of the church. How? In a manner coherent with the teaching of the church. That means it is our duty and our obligation to cast our vote in accordance with the teaching of the church. That means that it is our duty and obligation to participate actively in political life if we run for office in a manner coherent with the teaching of the church. That means it is our duty and our responsibility to participate actively in political life if we are engaged in a career field, in a professional life that is associated with political life in a manner coherent with the teaching of the church. That means in every respect that we enter into discourse on politics, we have a duty and an obligation to do so in a manner coherent with the teaching of the church. There isn't any way to misinterpret what the Holy Father is saying here. And there is no way for us to rationalize and in some way to shirk the duty and responsibility that is ours. We have to stand in union with the teaching of the church. That is, if we want to be more than an habitual Catholic, if we want to be someone more than somebody who simply goes to Mass, even if we go every day, or someone who simply prays the rosary, if we want to be fully invested in our faith, then we are obligated in every manner of our life, including that which involves politics, to do so in a manner coherent with the teaching of the church. And then the Holy Father continues and says, bringing their well-founded reasoning and great ideals into the democratic debate. So it is also the duty of the laity to participate actively in political life in a manner coherent with the teaching of the church, bringing their, the laity's, well-founded reasoning and great ideals into the democratic debate. Now, this is assuming something, isn't it? It's assuming that we know what the church teaches. It's assuming that not only do we know what the church teaches, but that we have sat with it and reflected upon it, and we have consumed it so that it becomes well-reasoned in our own minds, and we can make a cogent argument for it, and we can enter into a viable discussion regarding it. Well-founded reasoning and great ideals into the democratic debate and into the search for a broad consensus among everyone who cares about the, first in the list, defense of life and freedom, the protection of truth and the good of the family, solidarity with the needy, and the vital search for the common good. Those are the issues where we are being encouraged by Pope Benedict XVI to participate actively in political life and to use the well-founded reasoning and great ideals of our Catholic faith in the democratic debate, searching for a broad consensus, trying to win over as many as we can to the church's position regarding defense of life and freedom, the protection of truth, and the good of the family, solidarity with the needy, and the vital search for the common good. These are important words for us to hear. These are important words for us to consider. These are important words for us to reflect upon. And these are important words for us to do a serious examination of conscience with regard to. Where do we stand on this? To what extent are we living out this ideal put forth to us by Pope Benedict XVI? To what extent are we willing to go against the tide of public opinion? To what extent are we willing to put the social respect of others to the side? To what extent are we willing to stand in the gap between God and man with regard to these issues? To what extent are we willing to be vilified and marginalized in the public square? To what extent are we willing to put up with the potential persecution that could come by it and even the sacrifice of our lives? That's what I want to know. We have great saints to look back upon who give us encouragement and who are interceding for us right now, I know, even if we haven't asked for their intercession, who have done the very things that I've just outlined, who have put themselves to the side for the sake of all that is good, all that is beautiful, all that is true. The first one that comes into my mind is St. Thomas More. But there are many, many others, many, many others who are willing to sacrifice everything for that which was most important. And what is most important? What is most important is reflecting the face of God at this moment in the history of man. And that's why God's given you life. It's why he's given me life. It's why he's entrusted this moment in time to us, because he knew that we would rise to the occasion. He knew that we would be those living saints of the latter days who would be willing to stand up for truth, willing to stand up for goodness, willing to stand up for all that is beautiful, because all that is beautiful reflects the glory of God. Does that mean that we get it right? Does that mean that those who represent us in political life get it right all of the time? No. But we do have standards by which we're called to evaluate, and we do have non-negotiables by which we are called to begin to make decisions for or against a candidate. And I don't think it's ever been better put than by Pope Benedict XVI to the Pontifical Council of the Laity, May 21st in 2010. Once again, I read these words to you, and I ask you to consider them. It is also the duty of the laity to participate actively in political life in a manner coherent with the teaching of the Church, bringing their well-founded reasoning and great ideals into the democratic debate and into the search for a broad consensus among everyone who cares about the defense of life and freedom, the protection of truth, and the good of the family, solidarity with the needy, and the vital search for the common good. I hope we can man up. I hope we can woman up. I hope we can Joan up. We like to use that at Women of Grace. Joan up means being a Joan of Arc. I'm hoping and praying that we are willing to put it all on the line for what is most important today. I know we can get into the weeds on certain issues, and I know that there's a tendency to lump everything into some type of a seamless garment, but the fact of the matter is that is not the teaching of the Church. The teaching of the Church is that there is a hierarchy of priority, and the very first, the most important, the one that holds key position in that hierarchy is the defense of life and the defense of the most vulnerable of life, that in the womb of the mother. And that, my friends, is the key issue upon which we should be basing our evaluation in light of the teachings of the Church. It doesn't matter how many words of a Holy Father that we can say or we can use. We're called to embrace the whole of our church teaching, not a convenient portion of it, but all of it. And that really takes heroic virtue. So I guess I'm saying, let's be heroes. I guess I'm calling you to be a hero, and I guess I'm calling me to be a hero today. Are we willing to be heroes? Are we willing to take it on the chin for that which is true, for that which is good, for that which is beautiful? Phone numbers, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I've just said a whole lot of things here, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm talking about issues. I'm talking about Catholic teaching. I'm talking about what is important. I'm talking about hierarchy of priorities in voting. I'm talking about the fact that there is no seamless garment and you can't weave one. I'm talking about that which has been given to us by God through the teaching of sacred scripture and the teachings of our church. I'm not talking about political candidates. You can evaluate that for yourself. I don't have to do that for you. And it's pretty clear because I think everybody's been pretty upfront on where they stand on certain issues. Now, the question is, how do we decide? How do we decide on those issues? That's the important thing. Well, we're going to be going to a break here. So I want to remind you once again of those numbers, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call today. Also inviting you to use social media. Get on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there to register your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We're inviting you to do that and to text us. You can text EWTN 255-000. Did you know I also receive emails? I do. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way you can get an email to me. If it's a prayer request, please put that in the subject line and we'll make certain to sort it so that it gets on the air really quickly. If it is for Monday, monthly marriage Monday, I get that confused all the time. Marriage monthly Monday, monthly marriage Monday. Put that in the subject line too. We're going to be right back inviting you to stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Absolutely delighted to hear from you today. Phone lines are all lighting up. I'm going to give you that number. We've got one line available, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also inviting you to use social media. Get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Very happy to hear from you today. We're talking about a beautiful quotation given to us by Benedict XVI, and this is what it says. It is also the duty of the laity to participate actively in political life in a manner coherent with the teaching of the Church, bringing their well-founded reasoning and great ideals into the democratic debate and into the search for a broad consensus among everyone who cares about the defense of life and freedom, the protection of truth and the good of the family, solidarity with the needy, and the vital search for the common good. Really encouraging you to take those words to heart. You can find them out there. Just put in Benedict XVI, May 21, 2010, Pontifical Council of the Laity, and I'm quite certain that it will come up for you. It's a very, very beautiful and inspiring quotation, one that we are called to live out, especially at this moment in the history of man. We have Frank with us. He's in Boston, Massachusetts. Station of the Cross Radio is the way he's with us. Good morning, Frank.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks for asking.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to say you have a great gift of putting spiritual ideas into words. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. May God be praised.
And also a good little laugh. I like to chuckle. Hey, I have a little side project that I do, and I make personalized spiritual beading for all kinds of occasions, like First Communion, Confirmation, CIA, things like that. And one of the things I'm making is a beading with, it's like three different versions of like the Madonna and Child charms on them. And I thought about going to like in front of the abortion clinics and trying to get someone, the women or whoever are coming and going to, you know, accept the little message through this little token. And I was wondering, if you were a woman in the line, what would you like to hear that might change your mind?
Gee, Frank, you know, that's an excellent question, and we just never really know what is going to touch the heart of an individual. And many of those women who are going to those abortion clinics are in very dire straits. We understand that. And what we want to do is to show them that they're not alone and that there's another option available to them. I think that the most important thing to do is to rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Because every woman is different, her situation is different from all of the others, and what is going to touch her heart, only God knows that. So to be open, you know, without a script, I think, is probably the best, just to really permit him to use us as an instrument of his love in that moment. And you know, I think in terms of if you wanted to give them something and you wanted to give them a bracelet that has a, you know, a little miraculous medal on it or an image of Our Blessed Lady and Baby Jesus, you know, I think that would be a lovely gesture. I certainly think. And you have no idea how, you know, if they're willing to look at it, how that might touch them. I do know this just from the testimonies of so many women that when they go to an abortion clinic, you know, there's a good percentage of them that really don't want to be there, that they're being, you know, coerced in some way is probably the right word, or they're so desperate they feel as though there's no other way. So, you know, I think that an empathetic approach is always the best, but I would leave it to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you in terms of what you say and what you don't say.
Okay, good thoughts.
Thank you. And I do appreciate your love and your concern for them. Thank you. And for the baby in their womb. Okay. Thank you, Frank.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye now. Okay. So let's go to Anne. She's in Boston, Massachusetts. Station of the Cross Radio is the way that she's with us. You can join us too. Let me give you the number. And that number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Good morning, Anne. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thank you. A little bit busy. I'm having a furniture delivery at this time, but
oh, dear.
I do want to speak with you. It just always happens that way. I turned you on. I usually do listen to you, but I just turned you on. I heard you talking about how we should vote in defense of life and with the Catholic Church. And I had just finished reading The Pilot, which is the Boston Catholic newspaper, and both opinion pages really upset me because how would Jesus vote? Well, you can be a Catholic and a Democrat and vote your good conscience. One can be Catholic and a Democrat. One can be Catholic and a Republican. And we know that the Democrats are not pro-life. And then the other one says, for which imperfect candidate should I vote? Oh, we should just vote our conscience, and that's it. Catholic voters should be treated as adults. So I'm getting asked to renew my subscription, and I believe I just seriously think I'm going to not. So what do you think?
Well, Anne, you know, it's your decision on whether or not you renew your subscription there. You know, sometimes it's helpful to know what is being stated. I will say this, however, you know, if you decide to cancel your subscription, I would definitely let them know why you did. Canceling the subscription can happen for any number of reasons. And unless we really right. tell them that we're canceling it for this reason, then, you know, the effect of our cancellation is minimized. So I would suggest that. I want to call attention to this argument because I have heard that argument and read that argument in several Catholic press releases and in several different Catholic magazines and newspapers as well. And here's the fallacy of that. It says to vote your good conscience. What is a good conscience? And what a good conscience is a well-formed conscience. And what forms a well-formed conscience? The laws of God and the teachings of his church. So when we say vote your conscience, or, you know, we often hear that in reference to other, controversial issues. The fact of the matter is, it's not up to us to determine and evaluate that we have a good conscience because we've formed it according to, the whims of the world, according to a secularist view of the human person, according to an ideal of life that becomes further and further distanced from what we are specifically told in sacred scripture and specifically told through the teachings of the church. So the that argument is so hackneyed. That article is so filled with an erroneous view of what a good conscience is that it doesn't even really merit a whole lot of discussion, except to say that too many people find that to be a very convenient cover-up to do it exactly what it is that they want to do. Too many people use that as an excuse to vote outside of the teachings of the church because for them, there's something in it. No matter what that in it might be, there's something in it for them. They're gaining something through the casting of a vote or a decision being made based upon that premise. And we all know that because we've all done it. We've all rationalized our way. Well, you know, my conscience is telling me. No, your conscience isn't telling you anything. Your conscience has to be formed according to the heart and mind of the church. And if it is, then your conscience is echoing. It's echoing what sacred scripture teaches and what the church teaches. So, you know, I appreciate what it is that, you're saying here and your disgruntledness with it. I felt the same way when I read the article that I read that made the same claim. I, you know, had to take a deep breath, calm myself down, pray a decade of the rosary, you know, because it was just like, I'm too angry here. Although anger is a good emotion. Anger is meant to propel us toward a good. And that good is to proclaim the opposite word that's being spoken there. So you might sit down and write a letter to the editor. Let's see if it would get published. It would be worth following up to see if it even got published. See if they're open-minded enough to publish that.
The one of the writers has been a long-time, very big Catholic person. The other one is a professor of theology at Boston College. I mean, they're not just letters to the editor. They're definitely opinion pages.
Right, I understand. So, yeah. But I'm saying you could write a letter to the editor. Yeah. And you know, I have to say this too. Credentials really don't matter much in these discussions. It kind of can puff up a person's perceived image in the eyes of others. But the fact of the matter is, it's very simple, really, in the end. We make it more complicated than it is. It's really very simple. Know what the church teaches and stand by what the church teaches. And that's the heroic virtue that I was talking about earlier, because it's going to run against the grain of a whole lot of Catholics. It's going to run against the grain of a whole lot of secularists. It's going to run against the grain of the entirety of the culture. But that doesn't mean we don't do it. That only means that the virtue becomes greater, because it takes more courage, takes more fortitude, takes more trust to do such a thing.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeanette. You helped.
Well, I hope so. Take a deep breath. Pray a decade of the rosary for those poor people that wrote those articles. That'll be channeling your disgruntledness in a very positive direction, Anne.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
God bless you. You know, and I think that that's part of the difficulty that we have today, is that, you know, we've got so many dissenting voices, but, you know, and those dissenting voices are not devoid of color, creed, or gender, you know, they're not devoid of religion, we just had Ed, he called in and he hung up and he said he's just not a single issue voter. Well, we don't want to be single issue voters, you know, that's not the preferred thing. It certainly isn't. But you cannot evaluate all of the issues on the same scale. And so the issues that weigh the most are the issues that are most important. And those are the issues that we have to decide with the heart and the mind of the church. There is room, obviously, on some issues to vote with prudential judgment. But there are also issues that are intrinsically evil. Intrinsically evil. Which means that there's no other way to vote on those issues, except against the intrinsic evil that they are. And, you know, I don't know why we allow ourselves to get so complicated in this. You know, it's hard for me to understand. It really is. I long for the day. We're going to get to Maria in just a minute. I long for the day. Long for the day when we can look at the prudential issues and cast a vote based on our opinion about those prudential issues, always informed by the teachings of the church. We're not at that day. We haven't been at that day for decades. So our job is to persevere. Our job is to continue to march forward. Our job is to put our hand to the plow and never look back and keep moving. Just keep moving. Keep moving in the direction of what we know is the will of God. And we know our God is a God of life, not a God of death. Let's go to Maria. She's in South Bend, Indiana today. Sirius XM 130 is the way that she's with us. We're inviting you to call too. Here's the number for you to use. It is 833-288-3986, and that happens to be toll-free in North America, 833-288-EWTN. Good morning, Maria. How are you today?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm well, and I'm really glad I caught your show this morning. In particular, I just would say you were referencing the Catholic teaching on abortion, which is so important. But for those who aren't Catholic who might be listening, I would just say God's commandment is very clear. Thou shalt not kill. So even if you're not Catholic and you don't know the teaching of the church, most people know that. So, but the reason I called, a friend who knows I'm very pro-life shared with me, a meme she had seen on, I'm assuming, social media. And it says, for those who hesitate to vote Democrat because of the abortion issue, here is some food for thought. Neither party wants to see abortions increase, which I don't agree with that, but I'll continue. The difference is in strategy. The Republicans' approach of make it illegal versus the Democrats' approach of make it unnecessary, which is more effective. The numbers speak for themselves. And then they show us a chart with data that they say is from the CDC, and it starts with Reagan and then to Bush and then to Clinton and then through Obama, it's a little small on my screen. Point being, they try to show huge dramatic decreases in the number of abortions under Democrat presidents Clinton and Obama. So she sent it to me. The first thing I said is I disagree with their wording. An abortion is never necessary, which is their claim, right?
That's right.
And she sent this to me very late at night, so I wasn't very fresh. But I just said it's not only is it not necessary, it's certainly not necessary in the ninth month or after birth. I said to her, I think that they're just pushing this because they know abortion is a losing issue for them and they're just trying to get votes. So I wanted to share that with you, because I know you have such a wide audience, and also because I thought you might share it with our friends over at Church Pop, that perhaps they could, put together something to help address this, because I've now heard other people say, oh, yeah, I've heard that. So I don't want people to be misled, and I'll be quiet, and I'm going to say thank you and farewell and let you address these points. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Maria. Thank you for your call today, and thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, that's kind of it's one of those statements, when you say, okay, so we don't want abortion. Right? We don't want it at all. So let's just do what we can to prevent abortion. That's one thing. But to say it's unnecessary, what exactly does that mean, to make it unnecessary? Well, maybe the idea there is that we just get, the entirety of the female population on birth control. That would make it unnecessary. Or it wouldn't, because we know that birth control does fail. And so abortion is the backup plan. What exactly does that mean? Make it unnecessary. That doesn't even make any sense. As you say so well, Maria, abortion is never necessary. They're all alternatives. And making those alternatives known and helping a woman during that time is what we ought to be doing. You know, we can make it unnecessary if we are willing to teach morality to our children. We can make it unnecessary if we are willing within the context of our culture to advocate for chastity inside of marriage and outside of marriage. We can make it, you know, unnecessary if we are willing to teach our children about the sanctity of human life. We can make it unnecessary if we are willing to institute curricula into our schools that is consistent with that message. We can make it unnecessary in all of those ways. We can actually make the law a law that's not used, just like so many of the laws that are on the books that are so outdated, they're not used. We can do that. But I don't see any efforts in that direction. I don't see any efforts at all. What I see is an increase in helping our young children to sexually be active, to experiment with you know, the intimate realities of their lives, to be confused about their gender. I guess we can make it unnecessary too if we make everybody confused about their gender and we just encourage them to have relations with people of the same sex. I guess we could make it unnecessary that way too. But none of that is answering the bottom question. None of that is really addressing the central issue. And that is that the taking of a human life in the womb of a mother is not only immoral, it's unconscionable, it's horrible. And saying that that is somehow a right, something that we're entitled to do, is totally ridiculous. Are we entitled to just walk through the streets and shoot people? Well, I guess maybe today, because there doesn't seem to be very much of any kind of enforcement of the law in that way in some cities. Maybe today that's what's going to happen. Maybe we're just going to allow wholesale killing. How about that? You know, here's what's happened. We have not been encouraged within the marketplace of ideas to think, to analyze, to consider the outcome of the decisions that we're making. So much of what we hear today is contradictory in and of itself. It makes absolutely no sense. And that's what's held up. And that's what's encouraged. No one today, at least I haven't heard it very much. I shouldn't say no one. That's way too much of a statement. But I think that I can say that no one is really teaching critical thinking today. We've substituted what critical thinking it really is. We have not been encouraged to think a situation through to a logical consequence. And I think that that has, in so many ways, torn apart the fabric of our culture, the fabric of our people. It's allowed us to fall to the basest of our human emotions and celebrate them rather than rising to the reality of the ideal that we're called to. It's encouraged us to be less human, not more human. And that's what concerns me. We're going to get out to the phone lines in just a second here. I'm going to go to Kyle next, but and I hope to get to all of you. Oh, golly, I don't think we're going to manage it. Linda says that she has an anxiety issue, she can't watch the news. Linda, listen, if you have anxiety issues, you shouldn't watch the news. Cast your vote according to the mind and the heart of the church. Quickly here, I just don't think that I've got enough time to get to a call. But Kyle, I appreciate you calling in, and Anne, I appreciate you calling in, and Virginia, I appreciate you calling in. Anne says, I think this is the best show that I've ever done. Oh, I don't know, Anne. about that. But I certainly do know that this is a time for us to come together as the children of God. It's time for us to come together according to the mind and the heart of the church. It's time for us to put aside, you know, our own predispositions and look to the ultimate good and move forward in that way. And to the extent that these airwaves can be used for that purpose, then may we all use them for that purpose. And I thank you all for being with us today. We're going to be back with you again tomorrow. Maybe we'll continue the discussion. So Kyle and Ann and Virginia, feel free to call back in, okay? Feel free to call back in. We want to be with you tomorrow too. Remember, get out to Women of Grace website. That's womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things available for you there. Watch that program that I did with Phyllis Schlafly years ago. Also, sign up for our webinar. It's not a webinar. It's a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Get your language right, Johnette. We want you to be there. It's a very important, beautiful, upcoming event. God bless you now. Bye-bye.